Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the podcast.
I'm J. Will Zubin. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Look at that shot, a beautiful shot of the bridge, East River, sun rising here in New York City. Alan Hahn, Bart Scott. We are joined by Mike Tannenbaum as well for this hour. Chris Kenny going to join us a little bit later on. J. Will, we wish him the best. He and his wife, of course, Nikki, expecting their first child. So J. Will off a little bit. Keyshawn's going to be back with us next week. So we look forward to that certainly as well. But we'll hold it down here, guys, for the rest of this week. And obviously for today, the draft is it 3 weeks away? It feels like the closer I feel like it's coming, the further away it feels. But it's getting there. And the conversation with the draft continues. As now we know, we've always known number one, Trevor Lawrence. Now we know after the Jets moving Sam Darnold to Carolina, that number two, they're taking a quarterback. And most likely it'll be Zach Wilson. Number three, the 49ers moved up, and then, of course, they're looking to take a quarterback. And now, guys, Adam Schefter is reporting that the Atlanta Falcons, are receiving calls and taking offers for the number four overall pick. So while all along, guys, it has been the thought that this is going to be at four quarterbacks in the first four picks, Chris Mortensen on SportsCenter yesterday said, it might not be a quarterback. Take a listen.
I would say that the object of team's desire are really most likely, and based off what I've heard, is Florida tight end Kyle Pitts. This is a guy who a lot of people have rated one or two or three on their overall draft board, although I will note draft boards are not final and set yet. But Kyle Pitts is a very attractive, unique player. It's ironic that it's the Falcons because it's a strong belief that the two of the players they're considering there are, in fact, Trey Lance, the North Dakota State quarterback, and Kyle Pitts, the Florida tight end.
All right, this is Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. So, Mike, let me go to you first on this one, because this has been such a heavy conversation about quarterbacks, but everybody has really been excited about Kyle Pitts as the non-quarterback, maybe the best non-quarterback player available in this draft. If you were a GM and you had a chance to move up, what would be your target at number four?
Well, it really, you know, the context is everything, guys. But if I was Atlanta, I'd sit there and I would take Trey Lance. And the reason for that is I think when it's all said and done over the next 10 years, I think Trey Lance has a chance to be really special because he has ideal measurables. He has ideal intangibles. He's been incredibly productive. He's thrown one interception in college. He's run for 166 yards at a championship game. And in my mind, he checks every box. So if I'm the Falcons, I don't trade out. I take Trey Lance and build my future around him. With that said, if we're evaluating the non-quarterbacks, Kyle Pitts is certainly in that conversation for the best player. He's a tremendous mismatch. And Alan, you know, some linebackers like aren't great in space. Some linebackers are better in a phone booth. I'm not sure who, but when you put Kyle Pitts in space, he is a brutal mismatch for most linebackers. So he really is a very unique player, and I can see why there's a ton of interest in him.
Bart?
Well, for me, if I'm the Falcons, you know, when you think about it, sometimes fat pigs get slaughtered, right? And they can get greedy and try and get cute and try and move back if, you know, you think about if you think that you want Pitts and you know, or if you believe that, you know, because they have to replace Matt Ryan. Matt Ryan is coming closer to the end of his career, and they have to make a decision. He has a huge cap number this year. And they have to get a replacement. So it has to be Trey Lance. But if somebody's saying, hey, I'm moving up for Pitts and I'm going to insure you now, you got to have a tremendous amount of trust in the person that you're dealing with to say, hey, okay, if I move back, say if it's Cincinnati that wants to move up, or somebody wants to move up a couple of spots, and you're like, hey, I still can get my guy. Mm-hmm. But for me, the best non-quarterback in this draft is Sewell. Because you can plug and play him for 15 years. It's the safest pick. And sometimes somebody wants to hit a home run. There's nothing wrong with hitting a double and being able to build around that. You know, so when you think about Pitts, you know, I think it's all about, you know, location, location, location. But if I'm Arthur Smith and I want to attach myself at the hip with somebody that's going to extend my future, it's going to be a guy like Trey Lance who can sit behind Matt Ryan, be able to learn how to be a professional, learn how to prepare, and then be able to take over the job maybe late in the season if they're having a bad season, or watch him go through his preparation and go against better competition, especially within that division when you have terrific time. You get to be on the other sideline, watch terrific time prepare, and watch these two go at it head-to-head. So I don't get cute if I'm Atlanta. You're picking fourth for a reason. Make sure you don't pick fourth again for a very, very long time.
Mike, I'm curious about this one because, as we know, the percentages tell you that the more quarterbacks that go in the top 10, yep, there's that boom or bust factor, right? The percentages tell you if four go in the top 10, would you say two of them probably have the better to have a chance or most likely because of, again, what history tells us could be the bust factor? And the longer, like the deeper you go. So, Alan, if you're taking the fourth quarterback, the fourth one available, that means there's three other teams don't see him as somebody that is the quarterback of the future. And if you have Matt Ryan at 35 years old, maybe you want to just give it one more kick at the can and use the assets you can, either to trade out and get some more picks and try to build and get yourself some pieces, or you go for something like a tight end or who else knows what else they would do there, or maybe even Sewell, to try to just give it one more shot. I just worry about the percentages when it comes to quarterbacks in the top 10 because we've seen history has told us you're not going to go 4-for-4. You're not going to get four franchise quarterbacks out of this.
Yeah, Alan, no, a couple of thoughts come to mind. The quarterback position is a developmental position, and Trey Lance is going to take some time. I agree with Bart. You could win for today with Matt Ryan and develop for tomorrow with Trey Lance. How about this? The last five quarterbacks that were traded up into the top three were Mitch Trubisky, Sam Darnold, Jared Goff, Carson Wentz, and RG3. Mm. 5-for-5, those quarterbacks are in the top three. And if the three of us owned a team and we said we could look at the history of our sport and we could either take quarterbacks taken in the top three or everything else, you know, if we're talking about the top three, we talk about Troy Aikman, we talk about Peyton Manning. And if we talked about everybody else, we talk about players like Drew Brees and Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers and Brett Favre. There is a much more compelling argument about not drafting a quarterback in the top three. When you look at the history of our sport, it's unbelievable when you look at it over time. For every Andrew Luck and Vinny Testaverde and Peyton Manning, there's 10 examples of non-top three quarterbacks that have gone on to have incredible careers.
And of those, the five that you named, name them again for me, the five that you just named.
So in the last five quarterbacks to be traded up for in the top three, Sam Darnold, no longer with the Jets. Mitch Trubisky, no longer with the Bears. Jared Goff, no longer with the Rams. Carson Wentz, no longer with the Eagles. And RG3, no longer with Washington.
Yeah, that was the point. Yeah. Is what do they all have in common? They didn't stay with their team, meaning they didn't turn into franchise quarterbacks.
Well, for me, the draft starts at three, right? Because we assume that we know who the Jets are going to take, and Zach Wilson, I don't know if that's where I would go with it, but that's where they're deciding to, you know, hitch their wagon to. It starts at three because if you think about all the draft equity and future draft picks that San Francisco gave up, and if they did all of that to move up to get Mac Jones because he's able to overthrow his receivers in his pro day.
Strong arm.
And he's able to play for Nick Saban with three first-round draft picks, you know, on the offensive side of the ball, when you think about Waddle and a running back, and you think of a great offensive line, we don't know what he can do with bad personnel. And I'm not saying that he's going to go to bad personnel with San Francisco, but eventually that team is going to get taken apart, and he's going to be the guy that you hope to be the answer for 15 years. Don't know if he can be that.
Mike, just a final thought on that one, because you know that's what Bart's been saying all along, and I know that when you did your mock, you had Mac Jones pretty high.
Yeah, no, I think Bart's points are completely fair. That look, Mac Jones has been a great player, but he's had great players around him. I think their calculus is Kyle Shanahan. I took Matt Ryan to the Super Bowl. We should have beaten New England, and Mac Jones is a better version of Matt Ryan. He's a better version of Matt Schaub. These are quarterbacks I've won with. He's smart. Now, I do think Mac Jones is a better athlete than others. I've seen him play in person. He has good athleticism, not elite by any stretch. But the other thing about him that to me is remarkable is you can measure accuracy a lot of different ways with quarterbacks. He's created over 2,400 yards after catch yards. Now, look, I know they got great receivers, but you have to be an accurate quarterback to be able to produce that sort of production after the catch.
Well, it's going to be something interesting to watch in this draft, as it always is. All right, that was Straight Talk, brought by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. So you mentioned Sam Darnold. You mentioned all those players that were traded up four in the draft and how that's turned out. Or the last five are no longer with their team. So on that note, did the Jets make a mistake in trading Sam Darnold? We'll discuss that coming up after this from DraftKings. All right, so it's everyone's favorite tournament of the year. The golfers are in Augusta, Georgia, to compete for the coveted jacket. And DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy sports, is putting you in the center of the action by giving you a shot to land in the green. Should be on the green. This week, DraftKings is giving you a free shot at $1 million top prize when you download and sign up using promo code KJZ. If you haven't tried DraftKings, this is the time. It's easy to play. You pick six golfers, stay under the salary cap, and submit your lineup before the tournament tees off early Thursday morning. The more red numbers they have on the leaderboard, the closer you'll be to winning some green. Rack up some points for pars, birdies, finishing position, and more. Download the DraftKings app now. Use code KJZ during sign-up. This week, DraftKings is putting you in the action with a free shot at the $1 million top prize. That's code KJZ, and you can get a free shot at the $1 million top prize only at DraftKings. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
Breaking news from ESPN's Adam Schefter. The Jets are trading quarterback Sam Darnold to the Panthers.
So what does today's move mean for Carolina?
What it means is that Sam Darnold is going to be their starting quarterback. They're going to pick up the fifth-year option.
This is Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
ESPN Radio, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, Mike Tannenbaum joining you this morning. Jay Will and his wife Nikki expecting their second child any day now, so we wish them the best. Keyshawn going to be back with us on Monday. We certainly look forward to that as well, to get Key back in the building. But right now we'll hold it down for you. And as we were discussing something in the previous segment that Mike Tannenbaum wanted to continue talking about, because it, again, there's so much quarterback talk in this offseason. There's so much quarterback movement already that we're seeing as well. And we're seeing a lot of young quarterbacks being discarded. And Mike, you wanted to discuss, and actually, before I do that, let me just put out the number. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776, because we're going to play some Ask the GM Anything at the bottom of the hour. So if you want to get in line and get the call set up now, this would be the time to do it, to ask Mike Tannenbaum anything when it comes to the NFL. So you were talking about how sometimes with some franchises, what they do, and there's a history of this, where, as we just talked about, you trade up for a quarterback, and now five of the last five quarterbacks that a team traded up for in the top three have all are all now with different teams, not their original teams. So basically, it didn't work out. But you've said there's a history also of franchises that misevaluate their quarterbacks, and you're wondering if the Jets did that. Or I think we were, none of us are wondering it. We probably all feel that way. The Jets did that with Sam Darnold.
Yeah, guys, I learned this from Coach Parcells in the formative years of my career. He always talked about the opportunity of new head coaches, new GMs, misevaluating their own. And specifically in 1998, we were at the Jets, Coach Parcells, Coach Belichick. The New York Jets in 1996 won one game. And in 1998, Vinny Testaverde was cut by the Baltimore Ravens in June. Glenn Foley was going to be our presumptive starter. We signed Vinny Testaverde to a very reasonable contract in June. And he led us to the championship game that year, guys, that year. So 2 years ago, one win, Rich Kotite, the whole thing, goodbye. And what happens? We go to the championship game. And when you look at the recent history, Ryan Tannehill in Tennessee, Drew Brees' career going, obviously, to the Hall of Fame after leaving the Chargers, when teams misevaluate their own and don't develop their own players or release players incorrectly, it creates massive opportunities for other teams. And over the next couple of weeks, and I've been there, we're going to scour every little tidbit of, hey, the backup corner at Boise State had a bad Achilles his junior year, but he's really a good player. And yet the Jets may have let Sam Darnold walk out the door for a couple of, you know, some decent picks, but let's face it, not a tremendous amount of compensation. And my question, if I'm Woody and Chris Johnson, is before I sign off on this trade, I'm looking Robert Saleh in the eye, I'm looking Michael LaFleur in the eye and saying, give me your process that you went through to come to this decision, because you've had very little contact with Sam Darnold because of COVID protocols. So how do we know that here's a guy that's high character, here's a guy that has all the ability in the world? What was the process that led us to this decision? And why don't we hold on to him? And, you know, Mel Kiper spoke quite a bit about this, about keeping him and drafting Zach Wilson. But my point very fundamentally from an ownership GM management standpoint, guys, is this. What was your process to let this guy walk out the door? And that would scare me to death because, again, I'm not blaming the Jets because, let's face it, COVID is what it is. But how do you know? Like, how does Robert Saleh know when his head hits the pillow that Sam Darnold's not going to turn into the next Drew Brees?
See, I believe that they both, whether it's Saleh or it's Joe Douglas, they both understand and know that Sam Darnold is a baller. And they know that when he goes to Carolina, he's going to have a tremendous season. And it's going to put a lot of pressure on them because they weren't ready to win with the rest of the pieces on the roster. When you talk about Drew Brees, you know, the Chargers were in a unique situation. They had the second pick or the first pick of the draft, I believe, that year, right? Because they took Eli and then they traded. But then when you look at – so that made Drew Brees expendable because Drew Brees was coming up against a contract. And we know all things always circle back to money. So I think this was something that was a Joe Douglas call because he understands that he buys himself more time by selling hope and also by resetting the clock monetarily, because now you don't have to address picking up a option on Sam Darnold. So that gives you the flexibility and the opportunity to make more picks and go get more veteran players to build around. When you moved up and you got Mark Sanchez, what allowed you to continue to go get out a Braylon Edwards to be able to sign Antonio Cromartie was the fact that you were paying virtually nothing at the quarterback position. So I think Douglas saw an opportunity to give itself more options for room for failure. Because if you sign Sam Darnold, or if you bring in a guy like Deshaun Watson, the winning better start very shortly after. This gives some time to kick the can down the road. Now, I wish that they would have kept Sam Darnold because I felt like the options of moving back and getting the haul that San Francisco was willing to give up was probably the best value and the best move, and gave you the more options if Deshaun Watson failed to you, if you look at maybe Russell Wilson next year being available to you. But I think that they thought, okay, well, because we have the second pick, we have an opportunity much like Indianapolis had, because Peyton Manning still could play. We didn't know about the neck. But how do you pass on Andrew Luck? And I don't know why they're viewing Zach Wilson as an Andrew Luck type of prospect. The fact that we've always known about Andrew Luck, the fact that we've always known about Lawrence, we don't know anything about Zach Wilson long term, but they're hitching their wagon to it.
Mike, I also noticed that with your mock, that even with the trade, you still have Carolina taking a quarterback at number 8. You feel like that they still also have to do that despite having a 23-year-old they just traded for.
Yeah, absolutely. And David Tepper is the owner of the Carolina Panthers. He's made a lot of money in hedge funds. And if he was looking at his team as a portfolio and you have assets, Sam Darnold may turn out to be a really good quarterback. We just talked about that. He has one more year to go. He has this year and next year on his contract. I think Justin Fields has a chance to be a really good quarterback. I think he's going to be there at 8. Certainly with Chris Mortensen's report about Kyle Pitts, that gives me even more confidence that Fields could be there at 8. Why not? Justin Fields is a young quarterback. Bart just alluded to the salary cap implications of having a great quarterback on a rookie contract. And if we spin this story forward, guys, and we're sitting here next April, there's very few quarterbacks in the first round. So if Sam Darnold plays well and you have Justin Fields on a rookie contract, you've now turned the most important position from a weakness to a strength. Mm-hmm. And that's what team building is about. And who knows what you could get. I mean, to Bart's point, look what San Francisco gave up for a guy in Mac Jones that a lot of people a couple months ago thought was maybe in the middle of the first round. That imagine if right. Sam Darnold plays great. Yeah, exactly. And he's going to be 24 next year.
Yeah, that's true too. But it is amazing that the scenario that you have for Carolina, the Jets could have had but decided to go in a different direction. All right, so coming up next now is your chance. Get the calls going. Ask Mike Tannenbaum anything. Ask the GM anything. This is your opportunity. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. I want to see if somebody can stump him. Mike T never seems to ever get rattled. I mean, this is a guy that if you're in the negotiating table, I have a feeling, poker face, you never get him rattled. I want to see if anybody can get him rattled this morning. Let's just get this thing going. All right, we'll discuss that with him. We'll get your calls. We'll get that moving after this from Straight Talk Wireless. So it's time for some Straight Talk. Sure, saving money feels good. But cutting your wireless bill in half, that feels really good. Like walk-off home run in the ninth inning good. Okay, maybe not that good, but pretty darn good. With Straight Talk, you can get 25 gigs of high-speed data for $45 a month, up to 50% less than the other guys, plus no contract, all on America's best networks. Why pay a whole lot when you can pay half? Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise.
This year, it's like, no, it's Trevor Lawrence and then everybody else.
Mac Jones is really the one that's most interesting to me right now.
The Jets and Zach Wilson is a marriage that I think makes all sorts of sense beginning in 2021.
This is Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Curry off the screen, takes a jumper, it's up and good! A two for Curry, just inside the arc on the left side. Warriors lead by 3, minute 5 to go.
95-7, the game had the call. Steph Curry had 41 points against the Bucks. It was his 42nd career 40-point game. 30 of them came in the second half. He now leads the NBA with 4 30-point halves this season. Getting it done by himself as the young Warriors beat the Bucks 122-111. On to Brooklyn. James Harden now will miss at least 10 days with a hamstring injury. Harden left Monday's game against the Knicks, and an MRI on Tuesday revealed a right hamstring strain. The Nets play the Pelicans tonight, 7:30 p.m. on ESPN. That, of course, Eastern Time. Two women who filed lawsuits against Deshaun Watson have spoken out. Ashley Solis spoke in the news conference while Lauren Baxley wrote a letter to Watson. In her news conference, Solis said, "I suffer from panic attacks, anxiety, and depression. I'm in counseling as a result of Deshaun Watson's actions. I hope he knows how much pain he's inflicted on me emotionally and physically. I hope he knows how much pain he's inflicted on these other survivors." SportsCenter brought to you by DraftKings. Download the DraftKings app and use code KJZ to get a free shot at millions of dollars up for grabs this week with your first deposit. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
Well, the countdown is on to the 2021 NFL Draft.
Join me, Elle Duncan, Kevin DeGondi. Full coverage of the first three rounds on ESPN Radio.
From key quarterback selections, the blockbuster trades, an instant pick-by-pick reaction from Mike Tannenbaum, Bart Scott, and Ian Fitzsimmons.
Don't miss a moment of your team's draft day decisions that'll shape the future of the franchise.
Coverage begins Thursday, April 29th, 7 Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
KJZ, Keyshawn, J. Will, Zubin, ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Alan Hom, Bart Scott, Mike Tannenbaum joining us here as well. And both of you are involved in the draft coverage on ESPN Radio, as you just heard there. Mike, this will be a very busy draft. There's no doubt about it, especially at the top. You looking forward to that coverage?
I think he said can't wait, but yeah. We couldn't hear him.
I don't think he can hear us.
It's okay.
Oh, I'm sorry. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah. I said, I can't wait. No, okay. It's should be a lot of fun, and really looking forward to working with Bart, who's been a good friend and a teammate for a long time, and he makes me better and makes me smile. And to work with Elle and Kevin should be a lot of fun. And Ian Fitzsimmons always has just great stories. And, unfortunately, with the pandemic, we couldn't be together last year. And looking forward to being together. I believe we'll be in Bristol for it. And look, it's going to be just absolutely fascinating in terms of how this is going to unfold, just given the fact that, quarterbacks, and then how does Kyle Pitts and Ja'Marr Chase, impact this drama?
Yeah, all right. We look forward to that coverage for sure and getting you two back together in the studio.
Run it back.
So, you ready now to do a little Ask the GM, Mike T? Let's do this. Let's see who's bringing it this morning. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We begin. Josiah in Columbus, ask the GM anything.
Hey, how you doing, guys? Thanks for taking the call. So not too tricky, but with the moves that the Bengals have made this offseason, what do you see as a better choice for the Bengals? I was thinking Ja'Marr Chase or Penei Sewell. Also, where does Zach Wilson come from?
So those are great questions. I don't think the Bengals have had a good offseason. I would have kept Lawson. They signed Trey Hendrickson. I would have kept William Jackson. They signed Chidobe Awuzie. This has to be Penei Sewell. We go back a year ago, and Zach Taylor threw the ball all over the lot with a rookie quarterback. They moved on from Andy Dalton. Joe Burrow got hurt, which was unfortunately predictable. This needs to be Penei Sewell. This gives him the best chance. I don't care if the United States Olympic track team is available. If we can't protect Joe Burrow, nothing else matters.
That's a good one. Let's go to Eric in Chicago. Ask the GM anything.
Good morning, guys. I'm going to keep it short and sweet because I think I'm going to stump him. What the hell is Ryan Pace doing? That's all I got.
I think we're all asking that question, Eric.
Yeah, what's interesting? We talked about it this morning just in terms of Mitch Trubisky. Could he and Sam Darnold be those quarterbacks like Drew Brees, like Ryan Tannehill, that do better someplace else? When you put Mitch Trubisky's production on paper, it's better than what Andy Dalton was last year. And he's been a better pro than Sam Darnold. That's just the facts. It hasn't been perfect by any stretch. And I still think they need a quarterback. I don't think they could get to where they want to go with Andy Dalton. So I don't know if they're going to trade up, or maybe they trade back into that Kellen Mond, Kyle Trask group of quarterbacks. But clearly, to me, that's the position they need to address.
All right, on KJZ, we continue with Ask the GM Anything. Ian is in Pennsylvania. Ian.
What's happening, guys?
do me a favor, bring Golic back for morning. I miss the guy. But my Steelers at 23, with the signing of B.J. Finney and them covering the interior line, should we be comfortable with Alex Highsmith, or should we take a pass rusher?
Yeah, Ian, great question. I would say go with Creed Humphrey, University of Oklahoma. He's a center. He has a wrestling background. And when you think about all the great teams that the Steelers have had, it starts right down the middle. Hall of Fame quarterback and Ben Roethlisberger, Hall of Fame coach and Mike Tomlin, but also Marquise Pouncey. And that, to me, is a big concern. You have an aging quarterback that is not nearly the athlete he once was. I would take Creed Humphrey from Oklahoma. Bart mentioned it earlier. You get some of these offensive linemen, they're plug-and-play players. He could be there for a long time.
All right, we keep moving. Alfred in Maryland. Alfred, ask the GM anything.
Hey, good morning. I wanted to ask about the Lions. Where do you think they stand, and what actually we need to get advanced in the playoffs?
Everything.
Yeah, no, great question. I like Dan Campbell a lot. He stands for toughness, and that's why I would take Jalen Waddle, quarterback, wide receiver from Alabama. They signed Tyrell Williams. They have moved on from Kenny Galladay. I think when you look at a guy like Jalen Waddle, he is not only fast, but he's tough. He was in the championship game playing on one leg. Dan Campbell was our interim head coach in Miami. He stands for toughness. Let's see what Jared Goff has. But let's go get him someone like Tyreek Hill, but someone who's actually just as fast, but even tougher.
Mike Tannenbaum, our GM, and he's unflappable. I mean, he hasn't changed his expression
the
whole time.
Blink.
Not even a beat of sweat, nothing. And these are rapid-fire calls. We stay in Maryland. Alan in Maryland, ask the GM anything. Alan in Maryland, going once.
Come on, man.
All right, you're out.
What
we move on.
What the old band's going on in Maryland?
We go to Pennsylvania. Alex in PA, ask the GM anything.
Yeah, good morning. Who do you guys think the Dolphins should take with their first pick?
I think, Alex, it's no question. Yeah, it's a explosive playmaker, and I think they're hoping and expecting that either, as we've talked about all morning, Kyle Pitts, the tight end from Florida, who is just measurables off the charts, or if he's not available, look for Jamar Chase, receiver, LSU. He opted out. But when you look at how great Justin Jefferson was this year for Minnesota, mm-hmm. Jamar Chase is better. He has rare body control, guys. I know the time speed is great under a 4.4, but his body control of me is really rare.
Mike T., as usual, cool, calm, and collected, especially under pressure. The callers came at you. You had answers for everything. Very impressive segment there. Very impressive. You know what we're going to do? We're going to let you go for the morning. Thanks so much for joining us, as always. We appreciate you, man.
Thanks, guys. And just tell Coach Franklin I'm married to an insane, nutty Nittany Lion. She's the biggest James Franklin fan. So let him know that Michelle Tannenbaum is rooting hard for him down here in South Florida.
All right, perfect. That's a perfect segue, too, to bring him in. Keyshawn J. Will Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive's Home Quote Explorer gives you multiple quote options so you can pick what's right for you. See for yourself at progressive.com. It's KJZ, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott in for the guys. And yes, we are joined right now by Penn State coach James Franklin, who joins us right now on the Goodyear Hotline, brought to you by Goodyear, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven. So, Coach, welcome. Good morning. Good to talk to you. Is this? Are we getting back to linebacker you out there at State College?
Well, appreciate the opportunity to be on. Yeah, you know, it's been a good run. You know, we've been fortunate that way, obviously, at Penn State for a long time, and obviously now with Micah Parsons, a young man that I think has got a chance to, you know, get drafted really high and have a great NFL career. He's freakishly athletic. You know, if the Big Ten hadn't canceled the season and Micah opted out, you know, probably would have played him at kickoff return this year, would have used him a little bit at running back. You know, just a guy that can do so many different things.
Now, Coach, what do you see as best fit in the NFL? Is he a 3-4 linebacker or a 4-3 linebacker? Is he a guy that can, you know, go in the sink front, rush off the edge, or is he better off the ball?
Well, I think that's the thing that's so special about him and why people feel so highly about him. I think he can do a lot of different things. I think he can be a 3-4 backer. I think he can be a 4-3 backer. He literally, you know, when we recruited him out of high school, he went to Harrisburg High School. He played defensive end. and running back. And that's how everybody, you know, was kind of looking at him as a defensive end in college. If you're interested and you have some free time, just go back and watch his highlights from high school. They're pretty impressive as a tailback. But we thought his ability to play tailback would allow him to play linebacker. We had a need at linebacker, so we put him there. But he's kind of got the body. If he wanted to be 260 pounds, he could be 260 pounds. You know, he's just that type of athlete. And I think that's why so many people, you know, are attracted to him, because I think he can fit so many different spots in so many different systems.
KJZ, ESPN Radio, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, former NFL linebacker, Pro Bowler, Bart Scott. So he certainly loves talking to Penn State because that is linebacker you. And we have Penn State football coach James Franklin on with us right now on the Goodyear Hotline. You said something that caught my attention. So if Micah had played this year, not only linebacker, you would have used him at running back as well. Is that something that's like, is that a feature of it? I know he played in high school, but usually you start to specialize once you get to college. What is it about him that makes him that special? You could have used him on both sides of the scrimmage.
Well, 246 pounds and run 4.36. That helps with it a little bit.
Yeah.
But, you know, I just think it comes down to this. You know, we have really good running backs at Penn State. So it's hard to play guys in multiple spots like that. But, you know, Mike had been here a number of years. And, you know, I thought he had the potential to do some big things with the ball in his hand. And, you know, what you don't want to do with young players is you don't want to put too much on their plate. And they end up, you know, never being able to master one. But once you feel like a guy's done a really good job and, you know, really understands his job and his responsibility on one side of the ball, then maybe you can put a little bit more on his plate, especially when they're a unique talent. So, you know, the other thing I want people to understand is Micah would have played this year if the Big Ten would have handled you know, the pandemic, like a lot of other conferences, and delayed before making any decisions. Micah would have played this year, you know, but since the Big Ten canceled the season, Micah left, went and started training, and you know, took those investments from agent and was training and getting ready for the draft. And for him to come back, he would have had to pay back that money. And Micah and his family just weren't in position to do that. So if the Big Ten would have never done that, Micah would have played. I think that's important because I do think there's a little bit of a feeling out there with players that opted out. You know, why did you do that? And I just want people to understand that about Micah.
Well, the pandemic definitely put a wrench in a lot of players' plans. But, you know, when you look at the positive part, it allowed him to stay healthy. It allowed him to let whatever injuries that he had that's always nagging athletes to heal up. But what about some of the other prospects that you have there that teams may not know about? Because I feel what got really hurt in the process is the fact that guys weren't able to show the improvement that they made from year to year, which we know can be tremendous from one season to the next.
Mm-hmm. So you're talking about we didn't have other guys that opted out. I'm not sure what you're asking.
Well, I'm asking about, you know, other guys that maybe the regular fan may not know about on your team that, you know, may go underneath the radar that are very, very good football players, but because of the unique situation, especially in the Big Ten, you know, really didn't get the opportunity to display, you know, how much improvement they have had.
Well, we got some guys that also are being highly regarded. So you got, you know, Jason Oway is our defensive end that, you know, people are talking about as a possible first round draft choice based on his testing. It did not have the production that's been the knock on Jason as a pass rusher this year, but graded out extremely high as a run defender the year before, had a significant impact as a pass rusher. So Jason's a guy I think that's got, you know, really, really high stock. Is really a guy that I think if would have came back would have jumped into a top 15 type of pick. So it gives you the ability to, you know, get a high impact player, guy who's, you know, again, 265 pounds, ran 4.39, you know, 4.3 defensive end, 3.4 outside linebacker type of guy. So he's a guy that a lot of people are talking about. You know, obviously we got Shaka Toney's another defensive end who tested really well for us. And a lot of people are excited about him as well. We got two offensive linemen in Michael Bennett and Will Fries. We got a safety, Lamont Wade. So we got a number of guys that are getting a significant interest and have done some really good things with the pro day. And then obviously our All-American tight end, Pat Freiermuth, who some people are talking about as a first-round draft choice. So there's a number of guys with different kind of experience level and different buzz out there nationally, kind of all over the map from first round all the way down.
Talking with James Franklin on KJZ. He's the Penn State head football coach. It's Alan Hahn and Bart Scott in for the guys, ESPN Radio. I'm curious about something that has been talked about. There's two things going on right now with college sports, not just football, but all in sports. One of them is a transfer portal that, like in basketball, it's become a major issue. You know, we've heard some coaches talking about that. But the other one involves the name, image, and likeness story that everybody is still waiting for that to come to fruition. How much have you talked to your players about that? How much have you kept an eye on that with your guys and your program?
Yeah, I think everybody is watching these things very, very closely. And I think the challenge is you got different states that are coming up with different recommendations for it. But I think it really is to the point where you're looking to get some help from the federal government and how you want to handle it. You know, when you talk about amateurism and how that, how that plays out, when you're talking about, Title IX and how that plays out. When you're talking about kind of the impact of other sports on your campus, when you talk about taxes, and are we going to get into the student athletes now having to pay tax? There's just so many things that factor in here. Are there limits on it? How do you control a university's booster is paying for name, image, and likeness of an athlete, and they're really not paying for the name, image, and likeness. It's a way to funnel money to them. So it's just it's much more complex than I think people think and understand when you just hear things about this. I think in theory it makes perfect sense. It makes perfect sense, and I think really in theory, everybody that I know and talk to is completely comfortable with it. But it's how do you do it within our current model without destroying the entire model? And for there not being some unforeseen consequences to the student athletes, that they're not aware of. Well, I'll give you a perfect example. One of the things that I always find interesting is people talk about, well, you can't really do this because the student athletes are not allowed to go to the NFL. They're not allowed to go. So you can't say the student athlete can't go to the NFL and then, limit their opportunity to earn. Well, that's not an NCAA rule. That's a Players Association rule. And I think a lot of times things get mixed up. Whether it's an NCAA rule, whether it's an NFL rule, whether it's a Players Association rule, there's so many things that kind of factor in here, and things just kind of get thrown in one big bucket, and I'm not sure if people understand kind of really where they come from.
You know what, Coach, it's funny. That's what happens in these conversations, right? We only see the headline. What you just brought to the conversation is, hey, by the way, there's other things you got to consider. The tax part of it, certainly, but the booster thing you brought up as well, it's another way to cheat is basically what you're saying. And it is something that certainly has to be discussed when we do discuss this, because it's, in theory, a great idea, but let's remember there's always the underbelly that you can't forget about, and making sure that there isn't some other things that get involved in this that – create an imbalance that you don't want to have in college sports. Great to talk to you, Coach. Thanks so much. We appreciate some time this morning.
Appreciate it, guys. Have a wonderful day.
You too. All right, that's James Franklin, Penn State football coach. It's Alan Hahn, Bart Scott. We are in for KJZ, ESPN Radio, Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. So J. Will, as everybody, as I mentioned, he and his wife, Nikki, expecting their second child any day now. Any moment now. I'm actually waiting for the text, wishing them all the best. Keyshawn will be back with us next week, certainly as well, so we will hold it down in the meantime. Bart, on the what he just talked about with name, image, and likeness, That is also part of it.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, all right, so a booster's now going to say, all right, I'm going to give you, you know, $1 million for your name, you know, so I can use your name in an ad, and it's like completely imbalanced. But that can happen too. So they've got to have some restrictions
to
it.
It's always extremes, right? Because you can have
somebody's always going to bend the rules.
But you can have a bagel, no cream cheese. It's like, come on, man. We can find a happy medium. No rule is perfect. You know, no system is perfect. It's always going to be loopholes where you have people that's finding ways around it. But I don't think the athlete should suffer because we can't find a proper loophole. It's always going to be improper balance. Like, half the people go out to Oregon because of the shoe deal, because they want to be associated with Nike and the uniforms and the facilities. Right, it's always going to be disparity when you think
about. What about taxes?
I mean, come on.
What about taxes? No, you're earning on your name. It's still earning. You have to pay taxes on it, won't you?
Well, pay taxes then. And, you know, I think that.
You don't see that's a big deal. That's not a big deal to you.
I believe that athletes should get paid anyway. You know, what I mean, I feel like it.
Student athletes.
Yeah, I think it should be. You know, they bring a lot of money. They generate a lot of money. Same money that the NFL brings. But, you know, you think about what you're paying for labor.
Keep in mind, though, and I'm not against it, but it is something you have to consider. That's not a large percentage of athletes that are on revenue-generating sports in college sports. There's very few. In the grand scheme of it, that's a small amount of people.
But those pay for everybody else as well.
Yeah.
Right? So you think about the football and the basketball program. Everybody else is already.
The point is, though, is that it would be a rule for everyone, and that could mean somebody somewhere could cheat and just funnel some money to a player to get him to my school.
Man, guess what, Alan? They cheating anyway.
That's what we're going to do?
They're cheating anyway. So you might as well let it happen. Listen, athletes shouldn't be sitting up there suffering. I should be eating ramen noodles. But meanwhile, my head coach can pay $10 million.
That part I agree, but there just needs more to discuss on it. Will the Falcons trade out a number 4 pick? We'll discuss.